If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. You got to give up a lot of things to serve Christ. You got to give up the world, sin, what the flesh wants, and what the devil will tempt you to do. And take up your cross daily and follow me. We got the glory in the cross. That cross is where our old flesh is crucified. That's where the world and all them old desires and lust are destroyed, and there's a defeat. That's where the devil is defeated. With his purpose is to make us sin so we'll be lost. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him and said, "We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, we'll be made free?" Them were church members. "Oh, who are you talking to?" They were sorry church members, just like most are today. They're not sanctified. They don't look at the cross and that sacrifice and that brutal the beating that Christ took and the shameful death that he died. They don't want to identify with that. They want to identify with the resurrection. Go scooting around, singing the world in one hand, in the jug, and the stopper in the other hand. Hey, that ain't the way it works. That's not the way it works. We've got to take that cross daily. Our victory's in the cross, and we can't deny ourselves. We can't indulge ourselves into worldly pursuits and serve Jesus Christ. Now let me prove that to you in the 14th chapter of the book of Luke, right close to where you are. Verse 25, please. "And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brothers and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, that's a comparative term, hate, when God uses it. Your love for your parents, your children, your brothers and sisters, your wife, your own life, your husband, that love that you have to them has to be a comparatively hate in comparison to your love for Jesus Christ. There's a gulf wide as the Pacific Ocean between the love of man, natural love, and the love of God. That's what people do not differentiate in, and they get in trouble. Charity is the word they use in the Bible for the love that God gives us. We're not born with that love. It's shed and brought in our hearts, Romans 5:5 says, by the Holy Ghost. The love of God, how rich and pure. How measureless and strong, the song says. It's great. In other words, we must love Jesus so great until our love for our family is like hatred in comparison, or we can't be his disciple. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Hey, that makes it pretty rigid in his demands, doesn't it? Doesn't that make it pretty demanding on your life and mine? Why do preachers overlook all these scriptures in the Bible? Listen to verse 33, same chapter, Luke 14. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Everything's got to be put on the altar and say, "Here, Lord, it's yours. I'm the steward of it. But if you want what I have, and he does want what we have, here it is." It's like the Indian trying to repent and get right with God. He brought his wampum and that money in Indian, Brother Bill. He brought his tomahawks. He felt no peace with God. He brought his papooses. No peace with God. He says, "Indian, give him squaw." He felt no peace with God. In desperation, he jumped on the altar. He says, "Lord, I give you Indian." And he felt peace with God. See, the Lord wants the Indian. or the black person or the white person. He wants you. And with you goes like a sheep. Whoever owns the sheep owns the wool. Right? So many people want to give a little token. If God owns you as his sheep, and Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I'm the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep, and I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. John 10, that's a great chapter. Christians want to give God the sheep, but not the wool. Hey, if you're God's sheep, he owns the wool. That's what's in your pocketbook, in your bank account, on the deeds to your property or whatever. It belongs to the Lord. That cross will separate you from your money, separate you from your loves for the world. It'll separate you and make the love for Jesus so much greater than your love for your family and money and everything else, your job. There's no comparison whenever there's a decision comes up. Most Christians, if there's a need for God's work and they need a new car, it's easy to guess what's going to come first. For the average Christian, it's going to be a new car. But to a person that loves God and Jesus with all their heart and bears that cross daily and follows him, it's easy to know what he's going to decide too. If God has a need, that comes first. Lord, you just had to help my flivver run. You'll have to make the clunker run another few miles. God's work needs money. Praise God, and that's the way it has to be. God's power is exemplified in a sanctified life of a saint. That's power over sin, the flesh, the world, and the devil. In 2 Corinthians, turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, in verse 4, where the Apostle Paul, who was a crucified man, says, "For though Christ was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." Hey, it's after we have been crucified with Christ that Christ becomes strong in us. The Holy Spirit works through us through a crucified life. He don't work through a life that has not been subjected to the cross of Christ. We've got to die out to the world and the flesh and the devil. That flesh, that old nature has got to be crucified. When you're saved, you only have a measure of faith that God puts in your heart. But the Bible says in Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." That sanctifying power of Jesus Christ preserves us in Christ. When Jude, the brother of Jesus Christ, wrote in the book of James, the next to the last chapter of the Bible, one chapter, in verse 1 he starts, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Preserved in Christ and called. Praise God, you can have a life in Jesus Christ that you are preserved in Christ. That you don't vary from day to day. You don't have to sin today and be like the old maid counting the four-leaf clover. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. That's about the way Christians live, with four-leaf clovers. Today I can, tomorrow I can't. Today I could, tomorrow I couldn't. I wouldn't, I wouldn't, I couldn't, I couldn't, and I'm just not sure what I am. Hey, when you get sanctified, you're sure what you am. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, I want you to look at that. That's just too good to mull over here. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. It's right there in your Bible.